Ich weiß genau, was du jetzt für eine Storyline im Kopf hast. Die Frage gehe ich nach
Soll
Alter.
Und,
ja. Some people think a brand is a logo, which is of course a strange interpretation because it's not. So
Brand Trust Live.
Hallo und willkommen zu unserer sechsten Folge von Brand Trust Live. Wie immer mit einem echt schweren Thema, was wir locker, inspirierend und hoffentlich lehrreich behandeln wollen. Auch wie immer Shalina, meine bezaubernde Kollegin, die wie immer das Gegenteil und immer noch von mir darstellt und auch versucht, soweit es ihr möglich ist, eine gegenteilige Position einzunehmen, um dadurch das Ganze ein wenig spannender zu machen für alle, die uns zuschauen und zuhören.
Ja, danke Klaus. Und neben mir sitzt Klaus-Dieter Koch, der mich abends vor der Sendung immer anruft und fragt, was ich anziehen werde, damit er dann seine Garderobe darauf abstimmen kann.
Heute haben wir ein Thema, was auf das ich mich schon die ganze Zeit gefreut hat, weil es eine Frage beantwortet, die mir im Berateralltag eigentlich ständig begegnet, nämlich die Frage, in dieser Welt der Unsicherheit, in der VUCA-Welt, in der Welt der Polykrise, wie können wir das eigentlich nutzen und wie können wir vorne bleiben? Legen wir los, Shalina. Was beobachtest du bei deinen zahlreichen Kunden, wenn es um diese Frage geht, wie bleiben wir eigentlich vorne?
Also die Frage beobachte ich immer öfter und vor allem gerade auch in Konzernen, den Drang, schneller zu werden. Wie können wir uns aufstellen, um agiler zu werden, schneller Trends aufspüren und die dann schneller umsetzen?
Was hat Schnelligkeit für einen Vorteil?
Das ist ein Wettbewerbsvorteil, der als erstes das Produkt auf den Markt bringt, hat als erstes die Aufmerksamkeit.
Produkte haben eh genug.
Gut, ich würde sagen, Schnelligkeit hat den Aufmerksamkeitsvorteil erstmal.
Also erinnert mich an viele Diskussionen in der Corona-Zeit, wo es hieß, Herr Koch, wir haben früher 6 Monate für sowas gebraucht und jetzt haben wir es in 6 Tagen geschafft. Mhm. Das war wirklich ein Trend in der Corona-Zeit im Sinne der Agilität, wo ich auch gedacht habe, wir reden seit Jahren über Agilität, irgendwie tun wir es wahnsinnig schwer, kaum kommt so ein Virus, werden wir alle rucki-zucki agil. Was ich aber jetzt eben auch beobachte, dass es von diesem, sage ich jetzt mal, Spirit immer weniger gibt. Also man verfällt eigentlich wieder in seine üblichen Prozesse und wird dadurch wieder langsamer und weniger agil.
Siehst also ist Schnelligkeit so, vielleicht gar nicht wettbewerbsentscheidend?
Naja, wenn du jetzt Schnelligkeit, darum habe ich vorhin nachgehakt, jetzt nicht nur aufs Produkt überträgst, sondern auf Prozesse generell. Weil wenn wir jetzt zum Beispiel Schnelligkeit kombinieren mit Kundenzentrierung, dann wird schon was draus. Ne? Also wer kann schneller auf die geänderten Wünsche der Kunden eingehen, hat die Nase vorne. Hm. Ja, aber es bleibt ja, wie bleiben wir vorne an der Kurve?
Also wir haben ja ein Grundgesetz, eines von unseren 10 beziehungsweise 12, das lautet, Marken folgen nicht, sie führen. Und Markenführung, sagst du ja auch immer, ist ausgedrückter Wille. Und ich merke schon, dass wir bei vielen Kunden wieder, was mich sehr freut, zu diesem Mindset zurückkehren. Wir wollen nicht mehr nur noch dem Wettbewerb hinterherlaufen und in dem Zuge auch jetzt TikTok-Trends, sondern wollen wieder stärker unsere Identität zum Ausdruck bringen und wir machen alles, was dazu passt und das ist jetzt erstmal dann egal, ob das schnell ist, ob das unbedingt neu ist, sondern es ist halt spezifisch.
Aber das ist ein guter Punkt, ne? Marken folgen nicht, sie führen den Wettbewerb hinterherlaufen oder, und da würde mich deine Meinung interessieren, den Bedürfnissen einer definierten Zielgruppe hinterherlaufen.
Also es fängt schon mal damit an, was ist denn unsere Zielgruppe? Wie definiere ich die? Ich weiß genau, was du jetzt für eine Storyline im Kopf hast. Die Frage gehe ich nach
Soll ich
Alter.
Erzählen?
Und, ja. Und wir sprechen ja bei Brand Trust immer von Wertegemeinschaften und keinen Klassifizierungen nach Alter oder Geschlecht oder Herkunft. Und eine Segmentierung nach, ne, was ist, welches Milieu, sage ich jetzt mal, hat einen Wertefit zu uns und sich dann darin zu orientieren, finde ich grundsätzlich mal sehr sinnvoll. Punkt 1. Punkt 2, es gibt ja natürlich dieses berühmte Zitat von Henry Ford, die Leute hätten sich schnellere Pferde gewünscht. Also wer Marktforschung macht und blöde Fragen stellt, kriegt blöde Ergebnisse raus. Und es hat dann auch nichts mehr mit Willen zu tun, sondern du prostituierst dich dann eigentlich nur noch für deine Zielgruppe, die im Zweifel auch irgendwann gelangweilt von dir ist, weil du sie ja nicht inspirierst, sondern nur reproduzierst. Was sie
also keine Marktforschung machen?
Schlauere Marktforschung machen. Weil das, was ich schon oft beobachtet habe, was zielführend ist, ist, sich anzuschauen in so Foren, was sind denn wirklich Pain Points von Kunden in der Produkterfahrung? So was, was dich richtig aufregt. Und wir haben ganz viele Cases, wo sich dann Marken ganz erfolgreich darauf gesetzt haben, zum Beispiel Uber, Painpoint in der Taxiindustrie, die sind ja dadurch erfolgreich geworden, dass sie mehrere Painpoints gelöst haben. Einer davon war die Unsicherheit, du weißt nicht, wie viel es kostet. Ein anderer war die Unsicherheit oder der Painpoint, du weißt nicht, wer dich fährt, also ist der Fahrer verlässlich. Die dritte ist, du weißt nicht, wie lange dauert es noch, bis der Fahrer kommt. So, und die haben ganz schlau drei Painpoints identifiziert, über die sich die Kunden halt aufgeregt haben in Foren und so weiter und so fort, haben nicht die Kunden gefragt, was möchtet ihr als Lösungen, sondern nur, was stört euch so richtig? Und haben darauf dann eine kreative Lösung gesetzt, die die Kunden dann wiederum inspiriert hat.
So, Charlina. Und jetzt kommt eine Premiere. Nämlich die heutige Überraschung für dich.
Yes. Unser erster Gast. Wer ist unser erster Gast?
Ja, unser erster Gast, ganz besondere Person, jemand, der sich in dem Thema besser auskennt wie der andere. Er heißt Kees Elans und hat vor 21 Jahren, genauso alt wie Brandtrust, Transactive gegründet in Utrecht in der Nähe von Amsterdam. Und der kommt jetzt und auf den freue ich mich schon ganz besonders.
Klaus.
Kees. Hello.
Okay, now we switch over to English. Das heißt, wir synchronisieren uns ab jetzt selbst. Our issue today is staying ahead of the curve, so wie man vorne bleibt. What is a question which is driving our clients and our friends very much. And I just said you founded Transactive 21 years ago. Why? What was the idea?
Actually, because I saw a big gap. I saw a big gap between, let's say, research and business. And you could see that a lot of academic studies are super interesting. But then when it was brought to the practical side, so to brand or business side, yeah, you saw a big gap between them. They didn't speak the same language. And I thought we need to change that.
Let's step into our topic. So what is a trend and why do you hate it not anymore?
But I wanted to say something about that because I have a feeling you would mention that there's a change in the meaning of the word trend. Because recently, everything is a trend, right? If there's a TikTok phenomenon that then more than five people carry out, sort of asking...
It's trending.
No, I'm gonna test it with you guys. Actually, I'm gonna test it in a second. But then that is automatically called a trend, and then you lose sight. I think sort of what is a trend? When is a trend? And when is it just a phenomenon and or a hype? Where are the boundaries? And I think it's just blurred lines these days.
Yeah, it's all about definition. It's the same as you will most probably experience within brand. And some people think a brand is a logo, which is of course. A strange interpretation because it's not. So 20 years ago was already the same. They also called everything a trend. I think if you look to Oxford Dictionary, is actually the description of something that is moving into a certain direction. Well, that's a fake definition and therefore it's also highly multi-interpretable. The way we define trends, we focus on social cultural trends. So we focus on human needs and behavior. And below that, and I think that's what most people think of when they think of trends are...
Product trends.
Product, industry trends, new colors, new TikTok hypes, and these are all short-term trends. So they stay only for, let's say, between zero and let's say 5 years max. You can call it a hype sometimes as well. And actually they are manifestations of social-cultural trends. So they're manifestations of a need behind it.
Okay, I have to jump in there. Okay, I want to do an experiment with you guys. There's a trend, a manifestation, and then we can try to go back and to find what's the social-cultural trend behind it. Okay, So there's a TikTok trend I've captured, and that is a girl like me asks a man like you guys are the question, how often a day do you think of the Roman Empire?
A day.
A day.
That is a trend.
That is the question, and I'm going to explain a little bit.
How often I
or
think...
Or a week, if you...
Okay, that, but that's a different question.
The Roman Empire.
Yeah, the Roman Empire.
At least once a week.
At least once a week.
Yeah.
How about you, Klaus?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Once a week, okay.
Sometimes I have Roman weeks, a little bit more often, but at least in average...
So that was a trend that started, I think, in Sweden. And then all over the world, suddenly women began asking men, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And then every woman, even myself, I was super astonished because I never think about the Roman Empire. And then there were so many men answering once or twice a day. And then they were super surprised to find out that we don't think of the Roman Empire as often. Yeah. So women really got caught up about the differences of thinking between men and women. Then my question for you would be, what needs or changes lie behind that TikTok trend?
Well, first of all, I hear it for the first time. Second of all, I haven't seen it, so I don't know the complete context. But it could be that here a gender difference lies. And then I say, not biology, but a gender difference. So with what aspects of let's say, male characteristics or traditional characteristics do people identify? And maybe the Roman Empire stands for something it's about history. Oh, men tend to be more interested into factual things. And maybe they think more about the Roman Empire in the last years. Why? Because society is feminizing. And maybe that's one of the reasons why men will look for... I mean, these are... I don't know if it's true or whatever. That's not a point. But these are then the things that you will find out. Like, hey, there are deeper... it's the same like when we saw the man with beards popping up. These are a lot of times manifestation of feminization of society, for example. It happens also very subconscious. And once you know that, you also know that you don't have to copy that as a brand, for example, but that you understand the context, what's behind it. And then as a brand have a look like, hey, it looks like a lot of male people would like to have their own, let's say, safe space to I don't know, barbecue or do male things together or traditionally male things together. So. I'm pretty sure you can analyze that from psychological, sociological perspective, but I don't.
So you always look behind the trend.
No, we always ask the why question. That's the whole.
Why this trend exists?
Yeah,
like Charlina did.
Yeah,
there's a phenomenon she observed, and you ask, okay, what's the reason? What could be the reason or the reasons for such a phenomenon?
Yeah, but that's right? Not our core business. We look to social, to the human sciences in general. Our core is much more on, for example, understanding macro trends or global forces, how they influence human needs. That's much more of the core. So when we speak about a poly crisis, for example, we are much more interested to know, okay, if these things happen in society, what are the effects on people?
In the forefront, we discussed and said, okay, there are three issues, putting you ahead of the curve, so becoming faster, quicker in processes in your company. Secondly, connected with human needs, human behavior. And thirdly, to be aware of the meaning of the brand you have and be aware to connect it to that what people drives. So what could you add, or what is your perspective on this question, staying ahead?
Yeah, I really like the third one, because it's very close to also what we do. What I like about that is that if you look to human behavior, so you look at sociocultural trends, they actually are sort of blueprint. They're actually like a framework from which you can understand the world around you. Now, if you are a brand and you know who you are, you have your values, you have your mission, etc., you can find overlap. So you have meaning here in, on the brand side, and you have meaning here on the human need side. And what's super interesting is to look where do we resonate as a brand with the needs of people. And once you have that, then it means you become, and if you focus on that and develop on that, then you become relevant and even ideally meaningful. So that's the...
Sounds quite simple.
It sounds very simple, and it actually in essence is also very simple, but it seems that, that businesses make things very complicated and therefore start to focus on complete different things. I think also a lot of organizations are a bit confused currently, also due to this, let's say, poly crisis and VUCA world, that they start focusing on the complete wrong things. They forget long-term thinking, start firefighting, you know, they focus on...
Of course, on costs have to be reduced, growth has to be done now.
Yeah, and the core thing that they forget is focusing on the key stakeholder, which is the customer.
Yeah. Cats de Vries, a wonderful leadership trainer from the INSEAD in Fontainebleau, once said, on my question, what is the main job of a leader? And he says, leaders are the merchants of hope.
Yeah, I think that resonates also very well with today's society. I think a lot of people are looking for hope. A lot of people are looking for guidance.
What makes a leader confident? Could you help them?
Yeah, for sure. By offering a framework that works. I mean, the same as you do. You offer the frame of brands. And I think brands are also a proven... Yeah, don't kill me for my words, but I see it as a vehicle. I see brands as a vehicle to translate meaning, actually, the same as we... As
to trend. Store meaning.
Trends, with the trans social culture, trans human behavior, you find meaning. But how do you translate that meaning? And I think brands or you know, visual storytelling or narratives, these are actually vessels of translating that meaning into
transforming it into products and services, experiences.
Yeah. If you look at the poly crisis, what would you say has changed or shifted in human behavior within the last years concerning this topic?
Yeah, I think there are several things that changed, or at least are now important for people. One is people look for guidance, and they want to have a sense of control because they feel they're not in control. Leaders as well, by the way. So there's no difference between consumers and business, I would say. A very unfortunate aspect is that a lot of people experience high levels of polarization currently. So that's really a bad side that we can see in society globally. Especially in my country, in the Netherlands, it's the highest of the world, unfortunately, at least the perception that we live in a very polarized world. So those are some of the effects of a poly crisis. Yeah.
Yeah, if we switch from the brand side to the human side, the question is what is relevant to people? What is meaningful to people?
You need to be relevant, and maybe if you're lucky, you become meaningful. That's a little bit how I...
By coincidence.
Ideally designed, of course, but and coincidence as well. I think even most brands struggle even to be relevant. So I think that's actually the first step they need to take. Also, if you look at the latest researches on consumer experience or customer experience, it's dramatic if you see the numbers. How bad customer experience is. So you see a lot of these, a lot of these telco companies we all have to call, etc. And it seems that they're not even able to do the basic things right. So they focus on...
The funny question is, who is happy to make an experience with his telco company?
Yeah.
Who is happy and say, hey, Saturday morning, I make a cappuccino, then I grab the phone and call my telecom company where I pay a bunch of money every month.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And as long as nobody is happy for that, it's a torture for people. They cannot call themselves a brand. You know, that's the difference. And they have to change it. They have to develop the ambition to change that. By the way, companies like Apple
are able to do that.
I touched the right topic.
Yeah, but yeah, you can also touch insurance companies and banks, and nobody's happy to call them. And what kind of message is that about their brand and how they manage it?
Yeah,
they can do campaigns, shitty campaigns like they want. If as long as nobody's happy to call them, it's not a brand.
Yeah.
It's not relevant. It's not attractive.
Why don't they change that? I mean, it's not a super specific issue that you're raising, right? I think they're all aware of that.
No, it's money-driven, of course. Cut costs and put the telephone numbers.
Yeah, so there's, there's no pain.
There's no interest
for them. They have. My question would be:
has the interest? If you quit your contract,
then
they call you, and they are super smart and super nice, and a goodie here and a goodie there. Yeah, retention is trying to change that, but honestly, has it come until the retention departments enter the stage? Or perhaps they should manage their peak performances better in the advanced steps before.
I'm really waiting for a disruptive player to enter that market and then to offer that better customer service. And then to change the whole market, as we have seen it in so many examples in different industries already.
It's not a better customer service. It's a willing for relationship. They want contracts. We pay every month, but they're not willing to do a relationship. It's too costly. It's too difficult. It's too, you know, life is our customers is much more better.
Yeah. We already see a shift traditionally in these upstream segments. You were talking about energy delivery, oil companies or so. They were so, I almost would like to call it privileged. They had often a monopoly situation and they never thought about brand. They didn't think that to be a very attractive asset or something, a tool that they could use. But that is changing now. Yep. So in that aspect, the question arises for me, is it to become future ready or to stay ahead of the curve? Is it for every company essential to align more with people and the people's needs?
It's a simple yes. There's only a yes on this answer for every company, whether it's B2B, B2C, we always say business to human, B2H, because all business, all brands are built by humans. So you have to align on needs in order to be relevant. And of course, the most we see as consumers is communication. And we don't see how they treat the people inside, and we don't see how, you know, what happens on the inside. And as you say, a brand is much more than a campaign. So then to say which brand is human proof, and I see it because I work just as you both work on the inside of a brand, then you see, well, this part is quite human-proof, but this part is not. So I think it's we're not there at all. It's something that has just started to. And what you see in the obvious side is, of course, let's use a human-proof narrative because we're under pressure, because we sell oil, or because we also are forced to focus on sustainability, and then we create a beautiful sustainable narrative, which most people don't believe. So luckily, people are smart.
But where does the innovation come from to connecting the dots to have a 360 approach? From the big corporates or from the very little companies?
I think where I see it the most are the smaller companies, startups, by young people that really embrace a mindset of, okay, I want to treat planet right, I want to treat the business right, but I also want to treat my colleagues right, where you see much more, they can also design that, as large companies can't design that anymore. They're already so much siloed.
I have to ask, Klaus, how does Brandtrust stay ahead of the curve?
By not repeating what we can do best without thinking about how we can do it better. Sasha Lina, how do you like our first guest? Should we repeat it?
I'm a fan. I hope that people see the way I see you, generally.
And change the perspective a little bit. Yeah, so what did we learn for our question, how to stay ahead of the curve? So one thing I think is becoming faster, knowing your brand and finding ways to connect it with what people see is relevant. And so it sounds very often very simple. Doing it is
different.
Is difficult. Is you need creativity, energy, etc. Yeah, and we hope that we could inspire all people who wanted to become more relevant in these polycrisis time and staying ahead of the curve. Thank you very much. Thank you, Case, for coming.
Thank you for the invitation. Brand Trust Live.